Tired of profit wipeouts and blown accounts from following trade signal groups? Looking for a better way to trade? Why not be part of a principled, structured, and technically based community set inside a unique trading methodology? Enjoy a constructive learning environment while practically trading markets, supported by a bespoke platform run through browser or app, specifically designed to teach and engage you whilst learning and growing as the markets move. This is not a Telegram or Slack signal group. All trade ideas are based on a proprietary technical analysis process honed over decades, which is the HVF method, leading to trade ideas with fast-moving breakouts and tight stops, exact entries and exits, nuanced interim considerations, and ultimately strong rewards. Submissions are graded and scored by Francis for potential high-quality setups, and we provide bespoke tools to help get the job done properly and with precision. Over time, and with focused effort, you'll begin to look at charts, price action, and markets in a whole new light. Community updates every day by Francis and our three webinars a week provide a 360-degree approach, which are presented by our experienced team of trade leaders, to spot potential trades. We're a community of self-actualized individuals, spanning the globe and active 24/7, 365. The premium community provides a warm, supportive, and cooperative place for people willing to listen, participate, contribute, and to learn. Transform your approach to trading now. Transform your life. Book an introductory call with us on the link below.
Hey, everybody. I'm delighted to have Robert Moriarty with me. He is, in fact, the author of The Art of Peace. He saw active service during Vietnam as a fighter pilot, I understand, ran many missions, bombing runs, I'd expect as well, and has a very interesting outlook on that history, both from the militaristic post point of view, but also what it's meant for the finance of the world and all the events that followed it. And he is also actively engaged in the investments space. Robert, delighted to have you on and welcome to the show.
Well, it's a real pleasure to meet you and to have the opportunity to speak to you.
Thank you. Yes, indeed. You're a gentleman, sir. So as someone who has served, I often refer to the events of 1971, Nixon, and all of that. Maybe I should, rather than be the young whippersnapper, allow you to give us your back take on, A, that event physically, and also its repercussions thereof, and how it leads to where it's brought us to today, both from the military threat geopolitically and also financially and economically. Your take.
That's a really interesting question. My answer is going to surprise you. I would guess that 98 or 99% of the people listening, when they talk about Nixon and August 15th of 1971, they always come up with gold as an answer. And they say, well, that's when we went off the gold standard. And that's actually not true. Because I lived through it and I watched his speech, I know exactly what it is, and it's especially germane today. This speech was not about going off the gold standard. The speech was about going on wage and price controls. And of course, anytime you mention wage and price controls to anyone who actually understands history, they have never worked. They're always an utter disaster. They totally screw up the economy. And of course, that's exactly what Kamala Harris is talking about today. She has attacked the grocery industry that has a tiny, tiny, tiny fraction of profit and says that the stores are gouging the customers. Now, I'm going to say something, and this is absolutely true. 100% of inflation comes from the government printing money. There is 0% from customers being gouged. There is 0% from businesses. It all comes from the government. But, okay, yep. Let's go back to August 15th of 1971. In much the same way that Steve Jobs used to do it when he was around, at the very end of Nixon's speech, he said, oh, by the way, I've got one more treat for you. We're temporarily going to eliminate the ability of foreign countries to demand gold. And of course, that was temporary. That was, what, 53 years ago? It wasn't temporary at all. And what it meant was that the U.S. literally went off the gold standard. And the implications of that from a financial point of view, it gave the United States government the right to print an unlimited amount of money. And anyone, if you can add and subtract, look at the increase in spending in the last 3 years. It's just absolutely terrifying. And it is going to end badly. And I believe it's going to end soon. I think it's the end of the American empire. You could see the total disaster that Ukraine is. You can see the total, the sickness of us supporting Gaza. We talk about Israel should be responsible. Israel should avoid killing civilians. Well, guess who's supplying all the 2,000-pound bombs? I was a forward air controller in Vietnam. I flew 700 missions in the Bird Dog alone, controlling airstrikes, naval gunfire, artillery. I never controlled a single 2,000-pound bomb. We didn't have any targets worth the 2,000-pound bombs. All they're good for is knocking buildings down. And what Israel did in Gaza was bad enough. The UN was absolutely correct to call it a genocide. It was a genocide. It is a genocide. Hundreds of thousands of innocent civilians have been killed. But now Israel's doing the same thing in Lebanon. And I think the number that I saw in the last week, 1,500 people have been killed in Lebanon.
Well, they're using uranium as well, Bob. That's the other thing, which is actually a component in nuclear weapons, too. So I 100% agree with you, and I just add that step-in point there.
Well, the scary thing about that, Ed, I don't know how much you know about the A-10. The A-10 had 30-millimeter cannon. Now, the biggest cannon I ever fired on an aircraft in the F-4 was a 20-millimeter cannon, slightly less than an inch. 30 millimeters, a big gun. When you fire a depleted uranium shell out of a 30-millimeter gun, there are microscopic pieces of uranium. In Iraq, there are hundreds of thousands of people who have caught cancer because of this depleted uranium. It's going to be killing people for centuries. And it's just, it's evil.
Yep. I in fact, when I tweeted about this after I saw that, it's the tail after the event. Never mind the people that die in the initial detonation. It's the toxic tail that it leaves behind. It's almost, it's Agent Orange might ring familiar, but it's also, it's got the longevity, and we had a bit of that in Iraq as well, with depleted uranium, and now we're actually doing this in civilian areas in Lebanon, and it's an absolute scandal and a sin. But bringing us back to the financial and economic as well, this feels like the debt, we are very much thinking that we don't see 2026 without a major reset and possibly before, because of the debt and the trajectory. And it's amazing how the geopolitical events get hyped up and brought to a boil and a tinder, so that there's so many potential events that could serve as distraction while we do a debt basic reset and potentially get an interest rate spike and a collapse in debt values and all that goes with it. What's your take on the financial and economic essence of the precarious situation we find ourselves with these geopolitics?
Well, you just raised an excellent point. There are so many black swans flying around right now. We don't have any idea of which one of them is going to take a shit the first. They may all do it at the same time. And I'll tell you something not a lot of people are talking about, but they should be talking about. The Democrats are terrified of Donald Trump being elected. They've tried two assassination attempts, and there are absolutely connections between the FBI and the DOJ and the CIA and the assassination. And this scary situation over the next month, if Donald Trump is elected, there are going to be a lot of U.S. government officials being sent to Gitmo on the next bus, okay? What the DOJ has done, what CIA has done, what Hillary Clinton has done, what the Russia hoax has done, those are all crimes, okay? And Donald Trump says, hey, I'm going to do the same thing to you that you did to me. And the scary thing there is, what extent are the Democrats going to do to stop him? And of course, one great way to do it would be to start a war in Ukraine or expand the war between Iran and Israel. So the next month is going to be the most terrifying month in world history. We have no idea who's running the White House. It is not Joe Biden. I can assure you of that. So we've got this situation where somebody's running what's going on, but we have no idea who it is. We have no idea what they're talking about. Nobody's voted on this. And a lot of people in important positions in the deep state who will do anything to keep Donald Trump out of power. And I'll give you a number, pretty scary. Under the Biden administration, there have been 13 million illegal immigrants brought into the United States. There's a scary number. I think there were 16,000 convicted murderers that we know we allowed into the United States, 30,000 convicted rapists. We got some kind of new immigration policy where we bring the criminals in from other countries, and that's exactly what's happened.
We're doing a cleanse. We're getting a great leveling. The third world countries are actually getting this cost taken off their balance sheet and are emptying their prisons out into the first world so that we can have the scrambled egg society and bring the great leveling down in living standards. It is unparalleled, that I have to say. Yeah.
Well, it's deliberate.
Of course. It's not deliberate. Okay. Yeah.
Some of the things I was thinking when they were talking about the Haitians eating cats and dogs in Springfield, Ohio, which is absolutely true. And of course, Democrats say, well, Trump's lying. Trump isn't lying. That it absolutely was and is happening. And I was thinking, wait a minute. Haiti is an island. Ohio is on a continent. How the hell did the Haitians get from Haiti to Ohio? And I was thinking, these people have to be better swimmers than Leah Thomas. I mean, they could swim from Haiti to the United States. You know they want to be in the United States, but of course the United States is flying these people in. I have never seen a single discussion in any mainstream media where they talked about this. Somebody said, well, gee, that may be a bad idea, or gee, that's a really great idea. What the hell are we doing importing tens of thousands of Haitians into the United States? And of course, I think the simple answer is the Democrats need voters. Now, the 2020 election was the most corrupt
election. More than that, though, Bob, sorry to interrupt. We used the phrase about 6 or 7 years ago saying that the destruction of the American economy and Western economies as well, because this is not just about the U.S., is a controlled demolition of intent. And we use the phrase specifically for other references that people can dig down on. But it is a controlled demolition, and it is of absolute intent that this is happening. It's not just about voters. They are actively wanting to bring the American cycle to an end in a debt and a malaise and a civil war and so many different fractious behavior that is designed to destruct, isn't it? It's a destructive move, surely.
Yes, and you just raised something that nobody else is talking about. This is not just the United States. This is Europe, okay?
Yeah, at least, yeah.
What everybody has forgotten. Okay, trick question. Everybody hates this, but I'm going to do it to you anyway because you got a military background. When a country goes in and bombs the shit out of another country, there are three things the people being bombed can do. What are they?
They can run, they can hide, and they can fight back, I suppose. But if they don't, if they have the means, which is not always the case.
No, that's two out of three. There's one more.
Yeah. I don't know. Beyond run, hide, if they're being bombed, they can, they immigrate. Part of the running is, I suppose, they leave. I don't know. Surrender, maybe.
They can die.
Yeah, oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
Two, they can leave. And three, they can fight back.
Yeah.
And when you bomb the shit out of a country, the people are always going to do one of those three things. All of the illegal immigration into Europe, and it's destroying Europe, there's no question about it whatsoever. It's a direct result of all the problems in the Middle East caused by the United States and Israel. And if we would stop bombing the shit out of countries in the Middle East, we would not create these 50 million refugees in the world. Problems that exist in the world are so simple. This idea of importing Haitians to Springfield, Ohio, is so insane that I understand why nobody discusses it, because it started saying, you know, I got a really great idea. What we need to do is ship about 10 plane loads of Haitians a day into Ohio. Everybody say, have you lost your mind? Why would we do that? They've got their own country. So is it deliberate? Of course, it's deliberate. Somebody is trying to destroy the Western debt make system.
Yeah.
And succeed. Yeah.
And which is why, bringing it to, I suppose, the markets and positioning and gold, why we're seeing gold go up, and why, despite the economy being, I think, a lot weaker than most people realize, we're seeing interest rates on the US 10-year going up while we're supposed to be actually in an environment where there's more cuts. We're back above 4% on the 10-year. And this is the debt markets. It needs to deflate because Yellen is issuing like a drunken sailor. What's your take on that side of things, debt markets and gold as an alternative reserve asset, now that the bond market is no longer something that appreciates anymore?
You just picked up a very subtle point, and it goes to something that I literally ran a few minutes ago. The last bond auction, I think, was on September 11th, and then we held a bond auction this week. And the 10-year note went from like 3.68 to 4.5 in 1 month. That is a giant increase. That is an enormous increase. Now, my opinion, just my opinion, I think we're going to have hyperinflation, and I think the bond market recognizes it. And if it can go up 25%, and a move from 3 to 4 is a 25% move. If it goes up 25% in 1 month, you got a problem. I happen to think, again, it's just my opinion, I think the stock market in general is an accident waiting to happen. The very best investor, I think, in world history, Warren Buffett, has been dumping Apple stock and Bank of America stock for months, okay? So
Second quarter. If he sells again this quarter, it'll be 2 years of divestment from the stock market.
Yeah. And I make the point in my book that you don't actually have to know anything about investing. If you can find somebody who does know something about investing, just copy what he does. When I was in a fighter squadron, God, this goes back almost 60 years, we had one guy that clearly was the best fighter pilot in the squadron. And I went up to him and said, look, I want to be the best fighter pilot in the squadron. How do I do that? He said, look, Kim, you can't. I said, well, I'm really disappointed. Why can't I? And he said, because I'm the best fighter pilot in the squadron. But if you would like to be almost as good as me, all you have to do is copy everything I do. And frankly, looking at what Warren Buffett is doing and looking at his 19% a year return for the last 300 years, it's a good time to be bailing out of the general stock market, not getting into the general stock market. We have seen a spike. It is the last thing that happens before the market crashes. So I believe that stock market in general looks very precarious. We talked about the collapse of the debt-based system, but when you talk about the collapse of the debt-based system, you actually have to talk about what's going to replace it. And of course, that's going to be bricks in the resource-based system of the East and the South. And on the 22nd of this month, they're going to have a very important meeting in Russia talking about what they're going to do about a currency. And I believe they're going to announce a basic resource and gold-based financial system. And when they do, it will be the destruction of the dollar. The dollar will still exist, just like the British pound does. However, it's not going to be an important feature of the world trading system. And that's going to result in the destruction of the American economy.
Yes, we've had a couple of really seminal events. So everybody thinks reset is one particular event on one day, one moment, you know, like Lehman Brothers for the subprime crash. Meanwhile, there was the whole setup. There was lots of things starting to go wrong. That just happened to be the banner that got the name tag. But I would say the turning of the debt market post the CV19 events, that final blow off in strength, the last time people rushed en masse to buy debt as a safe hold instrument has occurred, and that we're in a continual bear down rating was one such event. You've brought up October with the BRICS meeting. We could have another big straw that's going to break one of the vertebrae in the camel's back potentially being announced here. Putin actually pointed out that they're going to broaden into palladium and platinum and silver as well. There's already been a part shot across the bow in terms of how many rubles they're going to be allocating. And it was quite sizable to a broader collection of precious metals. So who knows what else they might have in the stocking for October. What would be your best guess? It sounds from what you said, let me summarize back, that you're probably suspecting that maybe a percentage-based gold backing to a sort of BRICS WOKU type equivalent, maybe naming standard, obviously different. Are you expecting an announcement like that?
Yes, absolutely. If you go back at the increase in the price of gold in the last 6 months, I think 90% of it is Chinese buying and certainly a degree of Russian buying. The United States sanctions on Chinese banks. And to avoid the sanctions, the Russians started shipping gold to China, okay, because they could evade sanctions that way. It doesn't make any difference how many sanctions the world puts on Russia. I think NATO and the EU have put like 21 different sets of sanctions. And the amazing thing is every set of sanctions has hurt the United States and the EU and hasn't hurt Russia, but they continue to do it. The amazing thing is, and I saw this and I love seeing this, there is actually more Russian gas going to Europe now than there was a year ago. But the Europeans are paying a lot more money for it because it's coming from China, it's coming from India.
And all that happens is the military-industrial complex friends have set up consultancies and intermediaries on how to get around the sanctions, and you're just adding an intermediary who's taking a massive margin. The Russians are probably getting more for their gas, and this is literally a wealth tax on the European citizens, particularly Germany, as part of their sanctions parcel. So well done for winning the morality prize, which is not even correct. And now you get the tax bill with it as well in inflation on your nation state. I mean, it is a perfect There is so much embezzlement and fraud when we think about the money that must be going over to Israel and Ukraine. We've already had guys lying on their bed with $25 million in drawers and beds and all of this. I mean, it's literally, we are watching the dollar be diluted, and Powell must be thinking, you know, this inflation gig, can you guys perhaps stop taking pallets of $100 bills to every crook, hoodlum, and doing all of these dirty deeds done dirt cheap with intermediaries? Maybe we wouldn't have quite this inflation and debt problem. Stop shipping the pallets of billions in dollars in the back of C-130s. What would you say to that as an idea?
Well, I would say you and I have screwed up big time.
We're in the wrong business.
We're in the wrong business. I mean, Jesus Christ, we need to go be a customs official or a health official or a border guard in Ukraine. I mean, geez, can you imagine? Everybody has sexual fantasies. Okay. I've got a sexual fantasy. And when I saw the picture of that kid in bed with millions of dollars in nice $100 bills, I thought, that bastard, he just took my fantasy. I would love to do that. But here's what's beautiful about Ukraine. What's the most corrupt country in Europe?
Well, I'm not sure we've quite got Ukraine in NATO or Europe, but it's certainly going to be one of them. But I would also say London and the more gentrified versions are pretty darn corrupt in a slightly more sophisticated way.
Well, the political system is corrupt. However, it's absolutely prior to 2022, everybody in the world knew Ukraine was the most corrupt country in the world.
Yeah.
Well, here's
yeah.
what's beautiful. We have handed hundreds of billions of dollars to them. You've got kids who are the sons of hospital swimming in $100 bills. You think it's gotten any better? I don't think so. So we've got a war that Europe doesn't stand to gain. The United States doesn't stand to gain. A million European soldiers have died. For what? For what? Why are we there in the first place? Why are we letting a guy who is no longer even the corrupt president of the country, his term ended months ago, why are we letting this guy attack the biggest nuclear power station in Europe? That's insane. Okay. So
he's serving a purpose. We all know he's serving a purpose for the grand game as part of that controlled demolition. That's the only conclusion you can come to. And he's getting paid very well underneath the table for that purpose. And at the same time...
Let me stop you right there. When did Schultz get out of blowing up the Nord Stream pipeline?
Was the question when? I missed it.
Schultz. Jeremy Chancellor Schultz. What did he get out of approving the United States blowing up Nord Stream?
Very little. He didn't gain anything. He did nothing but damage to his energy supply.
And he's still in power. 69% of the German manufacturing plants have had to move production outside of Germany because they can no longer afford fuel. BASF, which is one of the biggest companies in Germany, is shutting factories down. A brewery that had been in business for 685 years shut down because they couldn't afford the power. And the bastards in Germany let him stay in power. Why is he not standing against a brick wall or a dangling tree?
You've got Volkswagen in near bankruptcy state. You've got BMW trading at about 40% of its book value. And even Mercedes-Benz, well below book value. And it sounds like BlackRock time for a bit of bottom picking buying, doesn't it?
Oh, wait a minute. You think BlackRock bought up all the land in Ukraine? Are you some kind of conspiracy theory? What BlackRock? It was BlackRock and Vanguard bought up all the land in Ukraine.
After they got the contract for rebuilding, so that they knew. Yes, they don't want to be on risk at any point. Back to gold and miners, bringing it financial, because the geopolitics will be here all day. When debt goes down, I've made the case, Bob, and I'm enjoying chatting with you, but I've made the case that during the bond bull market of 40 years, that was the Volcker high rates, and we've had this actual bond bull market where the bond paper was the stabilizing aspect to the 60-40 portfolio, and equities were the chase, the alpha part. And of course, that all has come unstuck. We had an ever de-escalating interest rate on the Goldilocks economy that Greenspan almost deserves to be in an economic court of criminality for. But let's park that for a second. We brought the interest rates ever lower so that we got this perpetual bond bull. The Saudis had a reserve asset to recycle their petrol and oil that was dollar-based into that actually appreciated, and they even got a small coupon rate, although it tapered. And eventually that reserve asset has had its bull market and is now dying. And the reserve asset of millennia is sitting there in gold, and we're going to have this huge deflation in debt because the rate proliferation is getting ever bigger. Scarcity is about value, and we're getting proliferation, so clearly values must reset down. Surely gold is one of the primary recipients, and the actions of those central banks in the BRICS nations that you were referring to that are about to meet in a week or 10 days' time are largely going to potentially, and we've already seen that insiders getting into gold, surely this could, how far are we into the gold story, basically, is the question, with all that set up detail?
Zero.
Yeah. Not yet lipped off.
You know, here's what's interesting. Again, you brought up something I'm not sure you fully understand. We're going to have a bull market like any in recorded history, but it's not going to be in gold.
Where's it going to be?
Silver.
Palladium. Silver 12, yeah. And miners at some point?
And miners. Okay, you're South African. Okay, do you remember what happened in the 70s? There were South African gold mines paying 25% dividends. Durban Deep. Western Gold. There were so many great, great stocks. There were stocks that went up hundredfold, and you're going to see the same thing again. But the interesting thing is, let me give you some numbers. Platinum was discovered as a unique element in 1722 in Colombia. Okay. The Spanish, when they were dredging for gold in the rivers, threw the platinum back because they thought it was undeveloped gold, platinum having slightly higher specific gravity than gold. Gold's hitting record highs. Well, a record high in silver was $50.22 in January of 1980. Okay, it's sitting at like $29 or $30 right now. Palladium is nowhere near its high. Platinum had a premium to gold for probably 98% the last 200 years, and platinum selling for $900 when you got $2,700 of gold. So you're correct, and the Russians understand this, and they're going to start buying palladium, they're going to start buying rhodium, they're going to start buying silver, because those metals are going to move faster and higher than gold. I'm not a guy that likes to pick numbers because, frankly, I'm no good at it. But you're going to see record heights for platinum. You're going to see record heights for silver. You're going to see record heights for rhodium. Rhodium's been as high as $28,000 an ounce. You're going to see higher.
But you can hardly get it. Try buy a rhodium coin. It's almost impossible. There's no, it's all OTC exchanges. This is such a thin market that the only thing I found I can do on rhodium is speculate on some, you know, trading platform that is very thin volume on an OTC market. But it's very interesting. And as you've said, it's got an extremely high beta. It's shot up. It will embarrass people to know how much relative to gold it's gone up. And I think we could have a moment where silver gets there. But has it not been the industrial elements, because we are recessional, that for now sees them first lag? And I sort of refer to it as the sort of trailer on the 4x4 climbing the hill, only we've got a bungee cord instead of a tow rope. And initially the car's going more up the hill, but that tension is building in the tow rope, and eventually the trailer comes hurtling past the car at a later point, because of the officially the industrial demand is being quite heavily hit right now. You've got the wind back on EVs, you've got, I think, reduced demand. I think we're in a globalized recession. We met a criteria for a recession, but then they told you, no, a great labor number is the reason you're not. And then I said, that's a lie. And then a year later, they lost 1 million jobs. And they'd also restated 13 months of the last year downwards in that period. So we technically met the criteria for a recession quite a long, long time ago. But we're in denial about it because they can't let them.
Wait. Did you just tell me the government was lying? No, Jeff. you think they're lying to you about the numbers, that they just made that shit up? Are you kidding? The government we're talking about.
Yeah.
But going back to the issue, and I apologize for interrupting you.
No.
I am a follower of sentiment, and price is always a measure of sentiment. Rhodium got to $10,000 an ounce back in 2011. That was the highest it had ever been. It got down somewhere between $600 and $700 an ounce 10 years ago. And I had people that I was talking to and saying, what should you invest in? I said, buy rhodium. And believe it or not, you could buy as many rhodium coins as you wanted to 10 years ago when it was $700, $800, $900 an ounce. There was no shortage of rhodium gold coins because nobody wanted them. And that's exactly when you want to buy anything. And it went from $600 or $700 an ounce to $28,000. I think it's back to about $4,000 now. But the Russians are doing something that is brilliant, because they control, I think, 45% of the platinum, palladium, and rhodium in the world. And of course, South Africa.
I think South Africa is a bit higher on the platinum side, but you're genuinely right. Between Russia and South Africa, which are technically are two BRICS nations, you've probably got 89% of the platinum, palladium, and rhodium market between the two of them.
They control price.
Yeah.
That's a big deal. That's a big deal. So we're going to see some real financial shocks with silver, with rhodium, with palladium, with platinum. Gold's going to continue to go up, but it's like dancing. Sometimes you lead and sometimes you follow. And I think it's the secondary metals that are going to lead now. And I'm amazed that the Russians actually came out and admitted they were going to start buying them.
Yeah. And they increased their allocation of funds on a monthly basis that they're doing it. They went from 38 billion rubles to, I think, 56, which was quite a significant increase that they announced in lieu of. But I think the big disclosures, I think it's going to be a very interesting BRICS meeting, because Johannesburg was a bit of a damp squid. I don't think they wanted to announce anything too big in South Africa. They weren't yet ready. But I think this one, there could be a bit more zing in the bag.
I think it's going to be more important than the meeting in 1944 at that hotel in New Hampshire.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, that could be really interesting. And tell us about miners, because there's the dual story, Bob, with the miners. So first of all, management. A lot of the management of miners, that to stay in business, first, it's deeply unpopular. Digging a hole in the ground is now criminal. ESG and all of that, BlackRock controlling that. So funding is more expensive. They've had to do a lot of dilution in equity as a result to do that. The gold ounces or the silver ounces per share have gone down, which is a lot of the reason why they've underperformed or lagged for now. We do say for now, because this is phase one, the setup phase. We've also had complete disinterest, loathsomeness. It's become hated like uranium market of 4 or 5 years ago. And on top of that, they've had the inflation on costs, and all the extra permitting, But that, of course, raises the barriers for new supply coming on. So we are building up the mother of all potential bull markets, in my view. But what's your take, and how do you see miners specifically coming? Bearing in mind that, surprisingly, even though we're having all these wars, we're only at mid-70s oil when we were recently at 130. And I think that's part the recession the thing, despite all these black swans that are imminently to drop. So actually, oil prices, we've almost got a cost. Energy is a big part of their cost, relatively low in today's dollars. $75 is actually almost, I dare say, cheap in a bizarre way. In an environment that we've got a runaway gold price, you and I are both expecting the other precious metal categories to start to ignite. When does is it going to come for the miners? How big? I think you've given us a small take, but dig a little deeper there for us.
Someone did a chart, and they compared the price of the miners to the price of gold, and the miners have actually been in a decline since 1965. It was a very clear chart, and we're at the bottom now, and from a relative position of sentiment, everybody hates the miners. You can go to Canada, and there's probably 1,500 stocks, and the number of stocks under 10 cents is absolutely staggering. I own probably 50 different stocks, and I would guess 40 of them are under 10 cents a share. It's really hard for me to even guess which ones have value because they're so hated. But in my book, I talk about you don't have to know anything about investing if you understand sentiment. Let me see, what's that a chart of?
For you, just as you were speaking, to try bring up a semblance of the chart, I brought up GDX, which is VanEck ETF on gold shares, and I've divided it by the gold price, and that just shows the devaluation of gold shares relative to the gold price.
Yeah, and that's a really good point. But my point, my book was, ignore demand, ignore supply, ignore the value of the dollar, ignore the geopolitical. None of those make any difference whatsoever. The only thing that moves the price of anything is sentiment. And if you can measure the sentiment accurately, now if you look at that chart right in the center, and that's probably 2020, you've got this gigantic spike up that's probably 150% move. It came down to that bottom line and then shot higher. I believe it's going to do exactly the same thing soon, and we're going to be in a bull market probably for the next 10 or 20 years. We've been in a bear market for gold from 1980 until 1999, so there was a 20-year move, and then it's moved sideways for 20 years, and it has just started the real bull phase. You're going to see it in the other metals, and you're absolutely going to see it in the miners, and I believe there's a lot of stocks that are going to go up 100 bulls.
Yeah, but one big problem. This time, we have a globally synchronized world, which all seems hell-bent on a sort of cultural Marxism, which also goes with totalitarianism and the risk for seizure, a confiscation from the citizens, or nationalizing mines. You were busy talking about how Kamala, the person of this time, I don't think she has an original idea of her own, but I do think she's put up to it and been given a script, which is very Marxist of nature, wage controls. Oh, we've never tried that before. And all of those kind of narratives. Don't we have the risk? Let's forward think this in game theory. You start making substantial money on miners, and they want you all serfdom and UBI dependent for their new CBDC. Won't they either confiscate, come with extremely draconian capital gains tax, and maybe, which is literally a confiscation in my book, unrealized gains type taxations. That is basically a license to take whatever they want. What about these risks? Are we not talking about enough about that?
Well, those are very real risks. What you're talking about is the concept in the fourth turning. And that book was written 25 years ago. It had said that we were going to enter a phase around 2005 or 2008 where there would be a move towards totalitarianism. I explain it as you go from peak sanity to peak insanity and then back. And what we've got now is so insane, it's absolutely incredible. 1,503 scientists have come out, and that includes three Nobel Prize winners, that said, oh, by the way, climate change is total bullshit. And it is total bullshit. And yeah. The CO2 issue, they made it up, okay? CO2 is lower now, okay? And CO2 is one of the most important gases for vegetation. And trees collect the CO2, and they turn it into wood and oxygen. And we've got things totally inverted. We have people like Leah Thomas. Leah Thomas is a mediocre male swimmer, 143rd in the world, and turns around and says, you know, if I put a dress on and pretend I'm a woman, I can beat all those girls. Well, no shit. Okay, so she did. And you just wonder, do any of these people have any honor whatsoever? If males want to put a dress on and compete, what they should be competing against is all of the other he-she's in swimming. Males should compete against males, and females should compete against females. It is wrong for these young women who spent years practicing, studying, working every day.
This is all part of their outrage agenda. You know, at the end of the day, they're trying to subvert all your values. They're trying to disorientate you. It is a funded cause. They know it provokes us. And we also have to almost float above it and avoid the excessive outrage. That doesn't mean we must permit it. We must do everything in our power to put an end to it. But there are clearly forces that want to humiliate and destroy. And you can get to your own opinions as who they are. They're often behind the migration coming in. It's probably a topic beyond what we're dealing today. But practically, for our viewership, our friends and viewers, how should our viewers sitting here seeing this prepare? Gold stocks, gold and silver, you like the other metals as well, which are very thinly traded, that could supermoon. And the miners associated to them. What else would you have if you're advising and giving the Bob Moriarty 5 points? You've got a great experience. You've been behind the wars. You know the damage it causes. And you're talking to your younger self and an audience like your younger self. The five bullet plan. Bob Moriarty, what does he say?
Okay, the very first thing they should do is read the fourth turning. Because in the fourth turning, they talk about this move towards totalitarianism, but he also talks about when people respond to this, you start getting these shoots of freedom. I love the fact that Hillary Clinton has come out and said that people who spread disinformation should face criminal charges, and I absolutely agree. And Hillary Clinton's face belongs on the side of every milk carton in the United States. If you want to talk about disinformation and the Russian hoax and the fraud that she was behind and it's still behind, and she comes out and says disinformation should face criminal charges. And John Kerry, who took an oath of office to the Constitution of the United States, as an officer in the Navy, turns around and says the First Amendment gets in the way of government disinformation and narrative, and we need to get rid of
projection. This is them telling you of their crimes, and they project it on you, and how you should be punished for what they do. In other words, there's only one version of the truth. They project a lie, and any a pushback against the communist Bolshevik official narrative means you the liar. So this is the classic case of projection. We know they're all doing it. They're inverting everything in, on gender and everything else. They are creating an environment of chaos and outrage. And we can take the bait and just get angry on our social media and primal scream rooms, the virtual primal scream rooms, or we how do we undermine them and their progress in that demeanor? And how do we ensure that this process they may take us on, because many of them are driving the bus and unfortunately we're not steering, we're in the back seats. How do we best survive the accident they're going to create as part and parcel of all of this, whilst actually undermining as much as possible the direction they're attempting to take us on?
We're doing that right now, you and me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. Talk about it. Yes. And wake people up.
Yeah. The amazing thing is, and this is something I spent a lot of time talking about, very few people talk about, there is a conflict in the world. It is the greatest conflict in history between the debt-based system of the West and the resource-based system of the East. And quite bluntly, the resource-based system of the East is winning because they're rational. And the debt-based system of the West is collapsing because it's irrational. And the beauty is that you and I and 1,000 other pinpricks of light are coming out and saying, okay, here's something you should think about. The government doesn't want people to think. These idiots like John Kerry and Hillary Clinton, they don't want you to think. We want you to believe the government bullshit. You're required to believe the government bullshit. What they don't understand is they no longer control the narrative. We control the narrative, and people are starting to wake up. Now, you can go to any history book, and history books are not filled with stories of how wise the rulers were. The history books are filled with stories of rape, loot, murder, assassinations, war, because the oligarchs are stupid people. When you deal with guys like Bezos and Soros and Gates and Zuckerberg, these guys happen to be good at something very small. They happen to be there at exactly the right time. Bill Gates and Steve Jobs are not the most brilliant people in world history. They just happen to be in the computer business at exactly the right time. I'm not brilliant. I'm not the smartest guy in the world, but I started my website right at the very bottom. Of course I succeeded. It's not because of my brilliance, it's because I started at
existing.
The right time. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so, yeah, you're positioned in the right place in front of the right trend. I say this to everybody. You don't have to be an amazing executor. You can teleport anywhere in the world and any industry. What's the driving issue? Where do you want to be? And be in front of the wave. You can paddle upstream or you can catch waves and be in flow. So you've positioned well. How do we go back to our list of positioning for people? Because some of the things I say, particularly to our Western audience, English language speaking audience, which includes Commonwealth nations from Australia, New Zealand, Canada, as well as obviously the States and Europe, including the UK, I'm saying to many people, actually, the people flying the plane are not going to allow you to get your hands on the controls. They are putting it into the mountain. Maybe you need to take the parachute as well and jump. And these BRICS nations are potential. This is radical and it's not popular, but consider having optionality to live better tax conditions, because I see the tax rates going up as the ability to raise debt to overspend is taken away. I see services going down that you get for your money, all these things in the West. And I see a great leveling in the West. In other words, you're going to be in a downtrend. If you're an airplane and you're in that block of air, you're going to get a sinkhole. While other places, as you've mentioned, the gold is the money and it's moving east. Now, it's hard to say that because the highest standard of living nations are typically the Western nations. We don't talk about going to Botswana or Namibia as an improved living standard, or Bali or Indonesia. It feels exotic, but not first world per se. But should we? Is it time to have optionality to actually be out? Because the wrong people are controlling things and they're too dominant. They've got their hands too tightly around this aeroplane's joystick. Or is that too radical? Should we all be fighting till the last, tooth and nail, against a bent book system? Because you were referring a lot to the election. So I'm imagining you're hoping the Democrats don't get in. But if they don't allow an election, you don't get a chance to say. If they bend and cheat the election like last time, you don't get a chance to say. You're going to end up with a woman who has no fundamental principle. She reads whatever's handed to her. And the dark state are going to continue to fly their plane into the mountain. What should people do?
Well, let me ask that question in a couple of different answers. And you raise a really important word there. What should our parachute be? Now, I do not look at gold as being a perfect form of money. A lot of people do. Money can be anything. It can be shells. It can be big round rocks. It can be pieces of plastic. It can be paper. It can be cows. It can be salt. Money is anything that two people agree is money. Gold is a better form of money than most other forms of money. But the primary value to gold is not its money. It's as an insurance policy. Anybody looking at the world's financial situation today and the geopolitical situation who doesn't see we are at a very dangerous time in history is an idiot. The house is burning down and you still have the opportunity to buy an insurance policy. Now, silver and platinum and palladium are probably better insurance policies than gold, but any of them, if you don't own some gold, silver, platinum, palladium, rhodium, in your hands, you have no insurance policy. But once you get past that, you know, the greatest investment I think I've ever seen in my life is the gold shares. Because once gold and silver, platinum, palladium, rhodium go up, the gold shares are going to follow and then surpass. But another aspect of the parachute, I don't think anybody you've talked to has mentioned this, and you're kind of hinting at it. Did you read what Putin said about immigration?
I did. I think he said anybody not complying, not wanting to speak Russian or not accepting that, you know, it is an Orthodox Christian state is not welcome and would be exported. You know, you've got to comply. And he said, this is our country and fit in or ship out type statement. I seem to recall something of that nature.
Well, no, he's actually changed it. And he said, if you'd like to live in a free country, we would lower the standards. And there's a lot of things that we would allow.
Yeah, he said that for Westerners. Yeah, right. I read that other article. Sorry, yeah, I remember that now. Carry on. Sorry.
Yeah. You have to accept our values. And I'll be blunt. There are things that I don't necessarily agree with that I absolutely support. Vladimir Putin and the Russians support the family. They support families. They support the idea of men and women. They support the idea of religion. I think those are all wonderful concepts. Now, I do not subscribe to a specific brand of religion. There's 873 religions in the world, and I don't believe any of them are absolutely correct. But if you take the most rabid Jewish person or Baptist person or Mormon person, they think 872 are frauds, and the one that is not a fraud is what they subscribe to. So the difference for me and the most rabid Christian or Zionist or Mormon is one. Okay. I think there's one more fraud than they think there is fraud. But to support a country that supports the family, that supports education, that supports males and females, that supports believing in something, believing in your country, I think the number of people who are going to look at this and say, you know, our values are wrong and we need to go somewhere where they do have values. And very few people ever ask me about this. I was married to a Brit for 30 years and I loved her dearly. And she left 5 years ago and I miss her terribly. we looked at the United States 20 years ago, we said, you know, I see problems coming. So we left, and we lived in Grand Cayman for about 15 or 16 years. And then we realized all the food in Grand Cayman was coming through Miami, and we thought that was a bad idea. We need to get further away. And I'm living in a very nice area in the south of France, and the most wonderful thing is people are worried about their government being screwed up. Well, the government here is just as screwed up as anybody else's is. So I'm quite content there. But we've got food, we've got fuel, it's a temporary climate. We're not near any military targets. And whatever bad things happen, and there are bad things coming on the way, I'm going to be able to survive. Oops.
Yeah, good. Well, I like that. And you were brave and you took the plunge. And you have part left the West, although you're still in a remote place of France. I like the feeling of remoteness. You'll have good food, cleaner food, I imagine, than the States. I always battle when I go and visit there. It's been really entertaining talking to you, Robert. Thank you so much for your time. Can you tell people that are watching that would like more of your wisdom of a lifetime, I would say, and certainly worth hearing? How can they engage with you, and how can they get access to your books? Because you've written books both on the war and in the financial economic space. Please give them that lead up.
Well, it's very nice you say that, but I'll blow my own horn for just a minute. I've been a speed reader since I was 5 years old. Somehow, my mother taught my twin brother and I to read before we ever went to school. And I read 200 or 300 books a year. So over 60 years, I've read 150,000-200,000 books.
Wow.
I'm not smarter than everybody else in the world, but I've got access to a lot more information. I started writing about 20 years ago, and I've tried short fiction, and I've tried fiction, and I've tried autobiography, and I've tried financial books. And I will say, my reading, it's very easy to understand, and my repertoire from short fiction to serious financial books, the books are very easy to read, and they're well written. I'm an award-winning writer. I've been on the Wall Street Journal bestseller list 3 times. And you can go to Amazon, and there's a wide selection of books. And I don't care what you like to read, there is something that you will enjoy reading there. And I happen to be a very funny guy, and I'm a funny writer.
I love that, and I want to encourage everybody to go and start reading again. You know, the sad fact about social media is that there's sound bites. We've all just become the quick hit. Give me the summary line or the exact summary in a tweet or a tweet thread if we're really bold. And we've lost the art of sitting down and reading our way right through a full book. And it's time to get back. Calm down. Yeah, leave your device for the first few hours of the day. And the dopamine engagement that they're seeking. And some of the outrage. They really do want us outraged because that's a lower energy state. It's bad for your immune system. Calm yourself down and get a book from Bob's back catalog that he has written, Bob Moriarty. Great experience, award-winning writer. Where do they find it? Amazon, Bob?
Amazon.com and Lulu.com.
And search for Robert Moriarty, one of your most famous books being The Art of Peace. Is there anything on the financial and economic you'd like to give as a title that you would steer people to?
Well, my favorite book, the most popular book, is Nobody Knows Anything. And let me see if I can find it. Because the title pretty much tells you everything you need to know. Nobody Knows Anything, Investing Basics, Learn to Ignore the Experts, the Gurus, and Other Fools. And it's a very funny book, and it's a good book, and it's going to be in print 50 years from now because I write about things that are global and historic in nature rather than my opinion of what's going on today.
I love that. I think the title's bang on right. You have to make your own mind up and do your own research. And there's too many false messiahs as gurus and advisors. But I don't believe we've had one like that today. Thank you again, Robert, for your time. Truly appreciate it. And everybody knows where to find your amazing works. And I look forward to a check-in chat. Maybe close to the end of the year, we might have a bit more line of sight of what comes out of the BRICS October event, won't we?
Well, we've got two things to look forward to. We've got the BRICS on October 22nd, and then we've got the election in the first week of November. And both of those are going to be lifestyle-changing events. So I it's been a delight to talk to you. You asked some great questions. You have a lot of knowledge. And I look forward to seeing the interview.
Absolutely, we'll share that with you. Thank you very much, Robert. Have a great afternoon.
Tired of profit wipeouts and blown accounts from following trade signal groups? Looking for a better way to trade? Why not be part of a principled, structured, and technically based community set inside a unique trading methodology? Enjoy a constructive learning environment while practically trading markets, supported by a bespoke platform run through browser or app, specifically designed to teach and engage you whilst learning and growing as the markets move. This is not a Telegram or Slack signal group. All trade ideas are based on a proprietary technical analysis process honed over decades, which is the HVF method, leading to trade ideas with fast-moving breakouts and tight stops, exact entries and exits, nuanced interim considerations, and ultimately strong rewards. Submissions are graded and scored by Francis for potential high-quality setups, and we provide bespoke tools to help get the job done properly and with precision. Over time, and with focused effort, you'll begin to look at charts, price action, and markets in a whole new light. Community updates every day by Francis and our three webinars a week provide a 360-degree approach, which are presented by our experienced team of trade leaders, to spot potential trades. We're a community of self-actualized individuals, spanning the globe and active 24/7, 365. The premium community provides a warm, supportive, and cooperative place for people willing to listen, participate, contribute, and to learn. Transform your approach to trading now. Transform your life. Book an introductory call with us on the link below.